Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
And let's talk to Robert Mace, one of our favorite NFL guests, does an awesome show for The Athletic that I listen to all the time. Robert, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Happy to do it, guys. Good. How are you?
Very good. Great, man. I want to get your national perspective first before we move on to more pressing, timely, fun things on Washington being derailed this season. And I know you guys broke down every team and you certainly laid out the path to this, but it has happened more loudly and more violently and more quickly than any of us thought it would. What do you think is the big issue here in D.C., where all of a sudden we're asking questions about Quinn and the coaching staff and Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels that we weren't asking a year ago?
I think it's just one of those things where the way that they approached the offseason, they were always kind of threading a needle that it was going to be tough to pull off, especially on defense, right? Like you're getting as old as you are on defense, and you have an aging defense at a bunch of different places. And your hope is, can we get to a place where this is like a slightly above average unit? Can we get kind of the last gasp from enough of these guys where it can make good on how good the offense can be? And that just didn't happen, right? Like, it was the worst case scenario. Every, like, coin flip thing that could have happened with the defense, whether it was Marshawn Lattimore, you know, the pass rush being more than the collective sum of its parts, it just didn't happen. And so it's gotten worse on that side of the ball than I would have anticipated, but I always thought that that was a unit that didn't have a very high ceiling, and now, unfortunately, I think you're just realizing the floor of it.
So the only last thing I wanted before we move on to the rest of the NFL is, it was a pretty stark contrast, Robert, when Detroit had a bad game and Dan Campbell's like, we got to do something different, man. I got to take over play calling duties. Washington had one of the most historically bad months plus, and then it was like only finally was Dan Quinn like, okay, fine, I'll call some defense. Just to kind of smack you in the face, that dichotomy.
I think the unfortunate thing, the reality of this is, with Washington's defense, I think your hopes can only be so high because of the talent level. Detroit should have one of the best three or four offenses in the league. And so I think it's just a different standard that you're talking about. With Washington, I think this is more about making sure you're not playing an embarrassing level of defense over the back half of the season, because that's about salvaging what it feels like within the building, all of that kind of stuff. I think it's more about those like longer term culture considerations with him kind of steadying the ship there than it is like we have to make sure that we're maximizing the talent that we have on that side of the ball. Because to be completely honest with you, they don't have that much talent on that side of the ball.
Robert Mays, The Athletic Football Show on Grant and Danny. Two guys then to hit on specifically on the other side of the ball on offense would be Kingsbury and Daniels. On Cliff, is he still a hot head coaching candidate this offseason, and do you think he'll be a guy getting multiple interviews?
Probably not, just because a lot of owners are very, what have you done for me lately? They want like the hot guy who's coming off of a great season, and that's just not going to happen. I don't think there's anything about the offense, as far as what I've watched, that's like disqualifying or kind of sours me on what the Kingsbury experience has looked like in Washington. When he gets Jaden Daniels back and Jaden Daniels is healthy next year, I'm sure they'll be okay on offense. But I'd be surprised if he was like at the top of a lot of lists by the time we got to the end of the year. He might be, just because we've picked off the offensive coordinator tree so often over the last 4 or 5 years that I think the pool is actually much shallower now than in a lot of previous off seasons. But I don't think he's going to be like the first, one of the first like three or four names out of people's mouths when they're talking about the coaching carousel.
I just don't get why he's not mixing in some of what's working with all the really good offenses. You know, you look at the Rams and 13 personnel, like the top five teams going under center this year, Seattle, L.A., the Lions, the Bills, the Patriots with Drake May in year two. Washington is second to last. Only the Falcons, whose offense stinks under Zach Robinson, and they live in pistol and, you know, completely misuse Bijan Robinson, in my opinion. Those are the two teams sub 10% in under center rate, and they're at 6 and 7%. Like, I don't understand the logic here.
I think with the way that they're built specifically, I mean, especially when Jaden is playing, you lose a lot of the quarterback run game when you're going to go under center, as far as like being able to flip the math that way. You know, the best comparison that I would make is that it took a long, long time, and it took like multiple seasons of really struggling for stretches offensively before the Eagles have decided to do this, right? I mean, the Eagles are doing it because they didn't have anywhere else to turn. And I think, you know, with Baltimore is another good example of this, where for years they weren't really an under center team, and now they're starting to a little bit more of it. I get that to an extent, but I think that especially the numbers when Jaden is in there, you're losing part of what makes him great if you're going to more under center stuff. And so maybe over time they do.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Some of that, but I think their personnel is different enough that I don't think that's something that gives me like a ton of concern, even if it's not in line with a lot of the other good offenses in the league.
Robert Mazey, The Athletic, with us here on G&D. Who's the best team in the NFC?
I think it's the Rams, personally. I just think that top to bottom, I think they have right now the best offense in the league, just with the way that that thing is rolling and the way that Matthew Stafford is playing. The run game is really good. Their offensive line's gotten healthy. They can attack you in so many different ways. And their defense has been really good this season. I mean, despite some personnel concerns in the back seven. I think that Chris Shule has done an excellent job. I think that, you know, some of the ideas they're trotting out on that side of the ball are really interesting. And I think that they've done a good job of dictating to offenses rather than vice versa. So that's probably where I would land. I mean, I think Seattle's absolutely in the conversation. I'm looking forward to that game in a way that I have not looked forward to a regular season NFL game in a long time, because I think you can make a serious argument for either one of them. And I think we'll probably have a clearer answer by the end of the weekend.
Seattle's been up 28-0 and 35-0 the last 2 weeks. That game's at 4 o'clock this weekend, by the way. 7-2 L.A., 7-2 Seattle for first place in the NFC West. A guy that could be a very hot candidate as an OC is Clint Kubiak. Man, is he lighting it up with Sam Darnold.
Oh, it's been awesome to watch. I mean, it's been one of my favorite units in the NFL to watch the entire season. We were talking about it today. On our show, we did midseason awards, and we were talking about assistant coach of the year, and Clint Kubiak is right there at the top of the list for me. And it was that Arizona Thursday night game. When I was watching that game, I was like, man, this thing is just humming. You know, the way that they've constructed the offense, I think they've done a really good job of making sure you're keeping defenses in heavier personnel and the amount of play action that they use. That's a structure thing. You know, that's a very good plan. But then you look at like the down-to-down play calling and just how good of a feel he's had for it this year. And it's been remarkable. I mean, I just never came into the season thinking I would be looking forward to watching the Seahawks offense every single week, and that's precisely what's happened.
The Colts last week have kind of wavered, last couple weeks rather, have wavered, dropping that game on the road in Pittsburgh and then shaky beating Atlanta in overtime. Now they're bye week. Where are you at on them? Give me kind of a temperature check.
I think right now it's going to be a question to me of where between like the two poles of Daniel Jones are we going to fall? Because if you look at what happened over the first like 7-8 weeks of the year, he was the best quarterback in the NFL by far when pressured. You know, he was the only quarterback in the league, I think, per Next Gen Stats that had like positive total EPA when pressured. And if you compare that to who Daniel Jones has been for a majority of his career, he has really struggled when pressured. And you've seen that over the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's been really, really bad. The turnovers, just some of the sacks that he's taking. So that's my question about them moving forward. Where between those two poles does he fall? Are we halfway between? Are we closer to the guy he's been over the last 2 weeks, specifically when pressured? Because his ability to avoid a lot of those negative plays, that's one of the reasons the Colts offense felt the way that it did over the first half of the year. Everything else about this offense, the offensive line, Jonathan Taylor, Shane Steichen, the pass catchers, I feel really good about all of that. I think it's just going to be a matter of how bad is the bad from the quarterback in moments where he's pressured in the back half of the season.
The Athletic's Robert Mays with us on Grant and Danny. Denver's up a game on the Chargers and up a couple now on the Chiefs. They've got a massive game coming up with Kansas City next week in the AFC West. Is the Bo Nix discourse fair right now? I mean, the national pundits are essentially watching that tape saying, you know, they might have to make a quarterback change in the next couple weeks if something doesn't change. Is it that bad?
Quarterback change is probably strong for a guy that you drafted 10th overall and actually had a pretty nice rookie year, but he's playing some bad football right now. Yeah, I mean, it's been tough to watch, and I don't even think it's just last week. I mean, you can go as far back as, you know, that Jets game. What they're asking of him within the offense, I think, just speaks to a lack of faith they have in him. I think that Jets game is a really good example. I mean, just all like the third and eighth screens that this team throws, that's not the type of offense you're going to call with a quarterback that you believe in. And so I think this has been a consistent issue, and it's been kind of all over the place. And the concerning part to me is this is a guy last year who could get a little bit skittish in the pocket, did a lot of work as a scrambler out of the pocket on rollouts, some design, some him extending plays. I wanted to see him grow in the pocket. Like, could this be somebody deeper into plays where beyond your first read, could you actually play like a quarterback mechanically in the NFL? And he just hasn't really grown in those areas. Most of what he does is trying to make plays outside of the pocket or from extremely clean pockets. And that the fact that he hasn't grown and has regressed in a lot of those spots, I think that's concerning if you're a Broncos fan.
So similar question, same quarterback class, right? Is it as bad on tape as it sounds with Bo Nix? Flip side, is it as good as how we all feel right now about Drake May when you watch him?
Yes. It's a simple answer. Like, he's just really good. He probably still takes too many sacks, and that's like the one indictment or one criticism I would have. But because he is trying to do so much as a scrambler, you don't want to take that playmaking gene out of it. I mean, he's somebody that is just affecting the game in so many different ways. The calmness he's playing with. I always thought Drake May was really talented. My question was, how many negative plays would we see from him? How many times during a game would he be trying to do too much? And the ratio of that is just so much better than I think you even could have hoped coming into year two. When you look at Drake May's skill set, his ability to throw the ball down the field, his ability to throw the ball down the field with accuracy, the talent he has as a scrambler, the big plays were going to happen. That was inevitable. To me, it was about eliminating the bad plays. And for the most part this year, he has done an incredible job of doing that.
Robert, super quick, last one. The Bills, I don't get it, man. Like, the ceiling is still so high. I still kind of believe in them, but they make it harder. A couple of these losses, I thought they were over these sort of doldrums with their bye week, and they drop a game where they were totally outclassed by the Dolphins. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the defense, I think, has been a concern for most of the year. I think they did a great job of kind of coming out fighting left-handed against the Chiefs with a very specific game plan. I think they caught them off guard. Other than that, I think game to game, the defense has plenty of issues for me. And then now you combine that with the offense. If they can't run the ball, if they can't lean on that no matter what defenses are doing to them, I think their drop back passing game just looks really unsettled right now. And so that to me is the biggest question. If you're going to remove that downhill run game where they can play in heavy personnel and they can kind of dictate the terms of the game, I just don't have a lot of faith in what it looks like right now for them on 3rd and 7. And for a team with Josh Allen at quarterback, that's just such a weird place to have reached. So I'll be curious to see, like, can they turn around just how uneven and unsettled that passing game feels like here over the second half of the year.
Robert, you guys do an awesome job. Really, really smart, insightful takes. Thank you. We appreciate it. It's good catching up.
Yep, anytime, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
There's Robert Mays. Check out his work from The Athletic on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. ActiveGuard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.